Psalms 100, and we'll begin, of course, at verse number 1. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful psalm. And Lord, thank you for the book of Psalms. My goodness sakes, how many times, Lord, if we had time to testify tonight, we opened it wide open, how many folks would stand and say, boy, at a time when I needed God in my life, when I needed help, and I needed encouragement, and I needed a blessing, I fled to the book of Psalms and read until my heart overflowed. Thank you for this wonderful book, Lord, this songbook of Israel. And as we study it tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll do something in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The book of Psalms, the 19th book of the Bible, largest of all of the books. One man says it's easy to find a book of Psalms. Just kind of take your Bible, split it down the middle, and you got a good chance of hitting the book of Psalms. 150 chapters, 2,461 verses, 43,743 blessed words, 227 verses of history, 164 questions, 417 commands. I like this, 124 vows. I think I'm going to preach on the importance of vows soon. 97 promises, 128 facts about the Messiah, something you might not think about, but the book of Psalms, honestly, is one of the great prophetic books of the Bible. It is the songbook of Israel. It's filled with songs and prayers, prayers that were sung to music, songs of praise. Literally, young people, like you would reach back and grab your hymnal, and we would sing hymns and songs in preparation for the preaching of the Word of God. The children of Israel would sing psalms out of the book of Psalms. That's what this book is. Our key verse, memorization verse, is probably the easiest one I'm going to give you. Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The author of the book of Psalms, was written by at least seven different authors, different ones that penned these psalms, at least seven that we know are that are specifically named: Moses, David, Solomon, Asaph, Herman, Ethan, and the sons of Korah. Some of them are not attributed to anyone. Most of them are believed to be written by either David or Solomon. They're written over the course of 950 years, time period from when Moses wrote the one psalm that is in there from Moses all the way until the book was finished. Most people believe that Ezra was key in compiling these psalms into the book as we now have it. The book's title and its meaning, Psalms, means literally to make music. It means to play an instrument or to sing praises to God. And those of you that are involved in the music ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let me say what an important part of our services that is. Those of you that play the instruments, the word psalm literally comes from the idea of striking with the hands, as if to play a stringed instrument. You may not understand this or know this, but that is a stringed instrument over there. And they strike something with their hands that strike the strings that make the sound. And the book of Psalms means to either play, to make music, either by playing an instrument or singing psalms to God. It is a book of songs and a book of prayers, the book that the Israelite nation used in their worship service. This is literally their hymnal. The theme of the book, well, the themes are as broad as the book itself. It's a great book on prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. It is a book of praise and prayers. It deals with redemption and, honestly, this matter of suffering. That's why there's so much help in the book of Psalms. You're going through a difficult time, preacher, and well, I don't even know where to read. I don't know where to go. Just go to the book of Psalms. I promise you. Just open it up. Start wherever it lands. Keep reading. It won't be 3, 4, 5 Psalms till God begins to bring that sweet heavenly medicine to your heart, to your soul. There's great healing in the book of Psalms. It also splendidly exalts the importance of the Word of God in our life. And of course, the chapter that would come to mind of that is Psalms 119. But all through the Psalms, there is an exalting of the Word and the words of God. The outline of the book, if you'll notice this, you can look later, The psalm is divided into five separate songbooks. So five songbooks within a songbook. You'll see these divisions marked in your book, in the book of Psalms. Psalms 1 through 41 is book number 1. Its general theme is man, and gives instruction beginning in chapter 1 on how to get God's blessings. And of course, also it gives us great evidence and instruction on redemption. And so the general theme is man and getting man instruction and the help that we need. Book number 2, Psalms 42 through 72, its general theme is Israel as a nation, their ruin, their promised redeemer, and their redemption. Book 3, Psalm 73 through 89, its general theme revolves around the sanctuary and its purposes. It's a great worship part of the book, and that's Psalm 73 to 89. Book 4, Psalms 90 to 106, its general theme concerns the history of Israel and their relationship with the Gentile nations. And then book 5, Psalms 107 to 150, its general themes are twofold, the word of God and the importance of giving praise to God. So a lot of information, but hopefully those things will give you an idea and an understanding of this book. The main characters is God. God and the nation of Israel, of course, is included in this. Now, I've taken us, and again, you know, where do you go in a book, 150 chapters, so much information, so many varied themes. But if there is a definitive psalm, I like to go and think about Psalms 100. So that's where we're going to go tonight. I believe that it's good every once in a while to have a tool, a biblical tool that helps you to analyze your attitude and make sure that your attitude is right. Now, young people, your mom and dad doubtless at some point had to talk to you about your attitude. And attitude is important. If you get a wrong attitude and you insist on holding on to that wrong attitude, first of all, if you got good parents, your life is going to be miserable until that changes, amen? But if you don't have good parents, God will make you miserable, has the ability to make you miserable until it changes. And look right up here, parents, I can help you with that. You don't have to put up with a bad attitude out of any of your kids. I don't understand parents that have surrendered to it. I don't understand parents that have let kids in their house just win on that. Shame on you, young people, if you've got a bad attitude. What do you have to have a bad attitude about? Excuse me. What do you have to have a bad attitude about? You live in a third world country? Did you eat today? You got a roof over your head? You got clothes on your back? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Excuse me. What do you have to have a bad attitude about anything about? And so, you know what? We need to stop making excuses about that. I'm tired of hearing parents talk about phases. Okay, folks, sinfulness is not a phase. You know, sometimes I hear parents defending rebellion. Well, you know, it's a phase they go through. It's not a phase you go through, it's a sin. I mean, if you walked in your teenager's room and they're sitting on the ground and they got tarot cards and they got some friends and they're having a seance and they burned satanic symbols into the carpet, would you just go, you know, it's just a phase they're going through? Well, the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So let's stop making excuses. Let's stop using these silly things that you're hearing from Dr. Phil or some carnal people on Facebook, and let's start dealing with some things as they ought to be dealt with. Okay? And so I mean that. I don't understand this. I just don't get it. But it's time the parents begin to start ruling the roost in the home again and demanding a certain level of expectation and thankfulness and gratitude and a good spirit. And don't surrender to that, amen? Don't surrender to that otherwise. And by the way, young people, I just helped you. I mean, even some of you think I didn't help you. I just helped you if you'll let the preacher help you. Now, every one of us need from time to time, though, we talk about young people, we talk about kids, but hey, come on, adults, our attitude can get bad. And you know what? We need to go somewhere and have it checked out every once in a while. My doctor, my family doctor, tragically, a couple years ago, passed away. And a really kind of a fluke thing. I happened to be gone out of town, came back. Someone said, did you know Dr. Smith passed away? And I just drug my feet for the last 2 years. You know, thankfully, I could say this, thank God, I don't regularly have to see a doctor. But at the same time, I do need to get from time to time some things checked. So finally, I broke down and found a new doctor a couple weeks ago. And I went in and sat down and talked with him and consulted with him and talked about some questions I had. And he went and I said, I'd just like to get a general checkup and get some things checked out. So he wrote me a, a place to go to, and I got some lab work done, some blood, you know, just, and by the way, nothing big deal, just wanting to make sure everything's where it's ought to be. Everybody ought to get it checked out every once in a while, and especially get 50 and older, you know, every few years, you ought to get some things checked out. And so I did, and you know what, folks, that doctor is an expert that's going to take all that information, he's going to look at it and say, you know what, we got a little problem here, or thank God we don't have any problems. Well, I feel like Psalms 100 is that doctor. Only, you know what? He doesn't do a physical examination on Jerry Ross. He kind of does a heart examination. And especially in this area of my attitude, to make sure that, listen, you know, watch this, folks. You can do the right things, but have the wrong attitude about it. Let me say that again. You can do the right things, but have a wrong attitude about it. The 100th Psalm not only encourages us to proper activity, but also encourages us to have the proper attitude. And so let's look at this psalm. What a blessing. You know, there's some things that God just loves. And I think this is a picture into the heart of Almighty God. God loves, verse number one, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God loves to hear joyful sounds from his children. He loves to hear that. You know, we're watching some of the grandkids for this week, some days last week, Thursday on, and I think to the end of this week. And so we got three of our grandchildren with us, you know. Now, folks, the sound of children are back into our home. And you can tell a lot by what you're hearing, right, moms? You can hear, you listen to the sounds of the children, and you kind of know what's going on based on the sounds that they're making. Now, let me tell you one of the most scary moments, okay, if you're not hearing anything. For some of you rookie parents, if you're not hearing anything, you need to get up and go find out what's going on. And there's nothing more terrifying than quiet, because that means they're up to something, all right? But normally, it's been fun. I mean, we've listened to them, and they're playing and interacting. And you know what's fun? To hear them laugh. I'm talking about joyful sounds, folks. And we talked about that this morning. You know, it's wonderful to hear kids laughing. It's great to hear them give positive statements. You know, in the way that they talk to each other, what they come in and say to us, and thankfulness, and just, you know, you gauge the atmosphere by what you're hearing, okay? And you know what God says? God says, listen, I've done an awful lot for my children, and I feel like, listen, can I just speak for God? I believe he says this. I kind of feel like I have a right to hear some joyful noises. Folks, listen to me. What does God hear? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we ought to listen to ourselves over the course of the day. You know what, folks? It's easy to fall into the opposites. Instead of laughter, instead of positive statements, instead of encouraging one another, instead of praise to God, complaining is the opposite of praising. And it's easy to, next thing you know, get into negativity. And instead of encouraging others, you know, talking about others and running down other people, and instead of praising God, complaining to God. And you know what? I believe this. Complaining, when you complain, you are saying, God has not been good to me. God's not been fair to me. And that's one of the most ridiculous things any Christian can say. Complaining, I believe, angers the Lord. I mean, when you murmur and complain, go study the book of Israel. You know what? When God perked up and listened up and acted out, was a lot of times when he heard the children of Israel begin to murmur and complain about what they didn't have, or they didn't think they, you know, watch it, check it out, study it out. Judgment always followed complaining and murmuring. And so God loves to hear joyful sounds from his children, verse number one. Verse number two, God loves to see his children serving with gladness. Now, let me say this. If you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, you know what? Check your attitude about that. Make sure that you're doing it with gladness. Remember what I said a minute ago? You can do the right things with the wrong attitude. And we all fall into this. Let me tell you something. If you're busy in the ministry and you're busy serving the Lord, then the honest truth is you've got to be careful, because at times your attitude can slip about it. I got a nice text from Josh, and he's not here tonight. I think they're out of town, but Josh Davis sent me a nice text a couple weeks ago. And I got up on a Sunday morning and preached a message. And Brother Jeffrey, I think it was when you had an emergency with Max and had to take it. And you had to last minute throw all that on Josh, the bus ministry. And man, I got up on, and so he showed up and he did it. And he ran the bus route for Brother Jeff. But it was last minute. He didn't have any time to prepare. He didn't know about it. He was kind of caught by himself there. But he did it. And I got up that, and he sat back in the PA booth. And I got up that Sunday morning and talked about what a joy it was to serve the Lord. We need to serve the Lord, be glad for every opportunity. And when's the last time you thank God for the opportunity? And you know what? I got home later on that afternoon. Here come a text from Josh. He said, "Preacher, I needed to hear that this morning." He said, the last minute, he said, you know, there was no way to prevent it. He wasn't mad at anybody, but he said it was unexpected. I was caught off guard. He said, I felt like all of a sudden, you know, man, I got to pull this off and do all of this. And I don't have much help. And he said, I honestly went over and got the bus and I did it. But he said, I had a wrong attitude about it. And he said, I needed to hear that this morning. He said, it's a privilege to work in the bus ministry. And I said, praise the Lord. But you know what? The honest truth is we all get into that. Come on. I mean, if you're busy serving the Lord and you got a lot of things, you nursing home people, come on, help me. Thank you for doing what you're doing. But you know what? Isn't it amazing where it seems like that nursing home always hits on the 1 week of the month when it seems like everything else hits and it's like we stop and look at each other and we've got to go there tonight. And if you're not careful, you start going, oh, is that tonight? And you know what it is? We've got good people. And you know what you'll do? You'll go do it. And thank God for you. But well, wait a minute, what about your attitude? You don't think that those people pick up on that? You know, listen, folks, what God is saying is here, listen, I'm glad that you're serving me, but I want to see you serve me with gladness. I'm talking about having an attitude check up here. God loves to hear his children sing praises. The last part of verse number 2, come before his presence with singing. And I love Blessed Old Baptist Church, and let's stay a singing church, folks. And I know we talk about this from time to time, but I believe our congregational singing, we can't let off. We've got to keep our hearts into it. And we met with the music people, and thank you for those that are involved in presenting good Christian music, and you're practicing, and you're preparing, and you're doing it. And I just believe that heartfelt singing is an outward sign. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, 18 through 19, of the fullness of the Spirit of God, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Isn't it interesting, the next verse, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, if you get somebody that's determined and hungry for the fullness of the Spirit of God, it isn't unusual to see them with a song in their heart and a song on their lips. And so God loves to hear his children sing praises. God deserves to hear a spirit of gratitude from his children. Verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I want to kind of finish out on this thought of gratitude and making sure that we do that. And I'm just going to kind of challenge you this week. Let's all of us just kind of, I mean, everything that was preached today, helpful, I hope, important in your life. But you know what? One of the two words that you ought to say many times a day is this: thank you. And by the way, two words that you should pray many times a day is thank you. Just keep your heart in thankfulness mode. And say, preacher, I feel like I'm not as grateful as I ought to be. Let me just give you a little exercise you can go through. Here it is. Let me give them real quick. Number one, revisit your salvation this week. If you want to jumpstart your thankfulness, I always go back when I feel like I'm, preacher, what if you go to Psalms 100 and you get bad numbers, a bad report in the area of gratitude? And you know what? One of the best ways to jumpstart that is just go back to the day that you were saved. I love to go back to the Rock Run Baptist Church. I like to talk about it. I like to testify about it. I like to tell people when I'm soul winning about it. I want to make sure my salvation stays fresh in my heart. Nothing will ignite in a Christian a spirit of thankfulness more than revisiting the day that you were saved. You know, on that day, I was forgiven of my sin and given instead the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The day I was saved, I was redirected from the fires of hell to the bliss of heaven. I was rescued from the power of Satan and adopted into the family of God. I traded in a life of sin and iniquity and confusion for a blessed life of purpose and power and purity. I was freed from demonic oppression and given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to comfort me and guide me and direct me and keep me. I was relieved of guilt and baptized in grace. I was relieved of worry and immersed in wonder. I was released from the chains of sin and instead given a crown of rejoicing. Listen, folks, I'm not just saved. I am eternally saved. And so, you know what, just go back to that day, and you know, when things look bad, and just remember that day and revel in it and just say, Lord, thank you for saving me. So number one, revisit your salvation. Number two, refuse to participate in negativity. Folks, I promise you, it's like a cancer. It's like a cancer. Remember our family camp? We only done it once. I don't know why I haven't done it again, but that was so much fun. I've had a lot of people say, we ought to do family camp again, and I'm thinking about all the work. I don't know if I can get Brother and Mrs. Dively to do that much cooking ever again. Okay, she's nodding her head. We may have to do it then. But boy, we had us a good time. So we were going over the orientation and the rules, and we allowed the church to do something, and I have no idea. This didn't really make any sense, but a lot of things that I do fall into that category. But we just decided that we would have a code word in camp for the week, family camp. Here's what the deal was. If you heard any other church member, anybody complain, you point at them at the top of your voice, you yell the word turtle. You remember that? Say, why turtle? I really still don't know. I'd like to have some spiritual application, something, but I just thought, you know, it would be something that people would obviously hear and notice. And so every once in a while, one of us, you know, you have a whole week of camp together. We're Baptists. We're going to find something to complain about. So all of a sudden, somebody would start complaining, and somebody pointed and say, turtle, turtle. And then it was so funny because that person would go into immediate deniability. I wasn't complaining. We may just have to reinstitute that rule here in the church on every Sunday. You know, I don't know how that'll go before the service, after the service, you know, but you know what? May the Holy Spirit of God be the one that calls us on this thing. And so just don't get into negativity. I mean, how about Philippians chapter 4? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So our focus ought not to be on the negative things of life, but as much as possible on the positive. Here's something to be thankful for. Rejoice in being an American. I mean that. Have you taken your little soldier and stuck it somewhere? I taped mine to the base of my monitor, and because I spent a lot of time working in my office on my computer there. And you know what? Thank God. Hey, let me encourage you to do something if you're not doing it, and it's up to you, of course. But are you flying the flag? Do you have a flag at your house? Are you flying the flag? That might be a good thing to go out and buy this week. And you know what it does? It'll do for you. It'll remind you every time you pull in your house that a lot of the privileges and rights that we enjoy as a nation is because of that red, white, and blue flag, and because of the people that's paid the ultimate price for us. I mean, I just think more, especially Americans, but Christian Americans, man, get you a flag. Get you a flag and hang it out there, okay? Just rejoice in being in America. American, we're having 1,000 more of the Grace Will Lead Me Home printed. Matter of fact, they should be done. They might be done now. And you know what? I'm going to restock everybody and get you going on that. Man, let's get back into thanking veterans and shaking hands. And let's just be glad that you're an American. Recount. Here's number four. Recount the great blessings that you've received. And I think every once in a while we ought to just stop and say, Lord, let me just thank you for some blessings. You know what Brother Reiser did in the last couple minutes here? You know, he just got up and said, let me share some blessings with you. Every Christian ought to be able to do that. And should do that on a regular basis. You may not have a pulpit opportunity to do it, but in your family and amongst your congregation, how about this? Come on, little Mr. Negativity or Miss Negativity. Why don't you come in with the idea of, I'm going to share some blessings. I'm going to share some good news. I'm going to share a funny story. I'm going to see if I can put a smile on somebody's face, you know. So recount the great blessings you've received. What was the biggest blessing of your life outside of being saved? When's the last time you shared that with somebody? What's the biggest blessing that you've had in 2016? What's the biggest blessing you've had in 2016? Oh, you don't understand, preacher. 2016 has been a disaster. Shame on you. First of all, that's absolutely not true. And if you are not receiving blessings that you can brag about, I might have you go back to Psalms number 1. You know, the people that are griping about not getting blessed. Has your preacher ever challenged you to do a word study on how to get the blessings of God? So see, what we want to do is we want to just make God bad because he's not blessing us instead of studying and finding out why we're not being blessed. Come on, this is good for us. Okay, what's the biggest blessing that you've had in 2016? Well, preacher, I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even think of a blessing. Man alive. First of all, that's just wicked. I mean, that's just wicked. I mean, come on. You ought to be able to stand up and share several blessings of today. And share several blessings of this week. You know what? You know why you're struggling right now? Because your mind is so used to going to negativity. If I said, what's going bad in your life, I'd have to stand there and listen for 2 hours. You have no trouble identifying and recounting those things. But you can't see the obvious blessing of God in your life every day. Well, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now listen to me. You start hanging around sinners, you start hanging around the ungodly, and you start hanging around scorners and wicked people, and I'm going to promise you, it'll sap the joy out of you and it'll rob you of blessings. Hey, why don't you change crowds and you can start receiving more blessings? And so it's all through the Bible. What I'm saying is, come on. This week, let's just decide, I'm going to shore up this spirit of gratitude in my life, and I'm going to confess being ungrateful as sin, because that's what it is. I'm going to go back and visit my salvation. I'm going to get away from the negativity, and I'm going to thank God I'm an American, and I'm going to start counting my blessings and talking about my blessings and thanking God for my blessing. Hey, here's another thing you can do. Why don't you contact somebody this week and tell them how much they mean to you? How about that? You know what? I think every one of us from time to time, if we'll pray about it, and I mean pray about it, say, Lord, who is it that's been a huge blessing in my life? And you know what? It's been a long time since I've said thank you. Hey, is the person that led you to Christ still alive? Are they still alive? When's the last time you called them? And by the way, you may go to the same church with them. When's the last time you went up to them and say, hey, I want to thank you for something? Thank you for winning me to Jesus Christ. Thank you for showing me how to be saved. You know, somebody else that was a blessing to you. When's the last time you just picked up a phone and said, you know, listen, we can use it for everything else. We can't use it for this. Pick up your phone and say, you know what? You did something for me and my family years ago. And you know what? God brought it to my heart. And I know I've thanked you before. Or maybe I've never said thank you. And this is long overdue. And I want to say thank you for what you've done. And then the last thought here, how about rededicating your life to God? I think the greatest act of thankfulness to God is a life lived in service to Him. And I mean, you know what? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, just go present your bodies a living sacrifice, afresh and anew. You say, preacher, I've already dedicated my life to the Lord. Well, you know what? You ought to rededicate it on a regular basis. And just take this psalm and let's just kind of let it be a bright light that shines into our life and expose things that need to be exposed and say, Lord, I don't want to just be doing the right things. I want to make sure I'm doing them with the right attitude. All right? Amen. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful short psalm that's so powerful and so packed with good admonition and good instruction. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, to be very conscious. Lord, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And Lord, not only that, but your ears are open. And I pray, Lord, that what you'd hear from your kids this week would be the kind of noises, the kind of sounds that would be pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray that especially, dear Lord, be burdened about this, that we target this area of thankfulness. If it's been a long time, Lord, since you've heard any of us, any of your children, stop and say thank you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd hear it 100 times this week and 1,000 times across this congregation. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now during this invitation time in Jesus' name.